squat cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
January the 17th, 4:15 p.m. The road between Ashari and Melmoth winds between gentle sugarcane-covered hills. Occasionally, small plantations of pine or wattle break the soft greenness. Dusty roads lead off the tar at intervals and disappear into the afternoon-shadowed hills. The small iron-roofed trading store stands slightly back from the road. Bright patches of bougainvillea splash against its white walls. Ancient advertising hoardings claim the superiority of cigarette and soft drink brands many years defunct. But the proprietor, Peter Rettman, is a young man. He has lived in the area all his life. He is enthusiastic and industrious.
Beatrice, come and give me a hand, will you?
Lungile nkosi.
If we move this lot into the storeroom, we'll have a lot more space here. Now, you take that side of the box. We should be able to shift it between us.
Lungile nkosi.
All right. Up we go. Your side of it, Beatrice.
Yena nkosi. Nay nkosi.
Car outside. Right, I see it. Better see what they want. Hey, gently, Beatrice. We don't want to smash it.
Nay nkosi is mlungu lapha.
What? Yeah, the car. Yes, I see them. Strangers. Must have lost their way or something. Yes, gentlemen. What can I do for you?
Nay nkosi bamba.
What? Okay, what the devil do you think?
January the 17th, 5:20 p.m. Outside the little store, a patrol van from the nearest police station stands unattended. Next to it, a patrol car from the Ashari CID. Two men stand beside the car, talking quietly. They are Captain Michael Wilson and Detective Sergeant Brian Edwards.
Must have died instantly, sir.
I should think so, Sergeant. Whoever fired that bullet knew what he was doing. Is the Zulu man still in the shop?
I think so, sir. Do you want to talk to him again?
No, I don't think so. He's a very shaken man. Later, perhaps, when he's had a chance to calm down a little.
He's certain about one thing, though.
Yes. The men were white, and they were strangers to the district. At least he'd never seen them before. Pity he didn't recognize the car, not even the make. Color won't be much to go on.
Perhaps we can get together a series of car pictures and see if you can pick one of them out, sir.
Good idea, Sergeant. We'll get the local uniform police onto that. Speak to the sergeant, will you?
Righto, sir. Anything else you want, sir?
Oh, we've been right through the store. They cleaned out the till, helped themselves to quite a lot of food. I don't think we'll get any prints, but you can try.
Right, sir.
Oh, yes, get me plaster cast of those tire tracks, will you? They'll be a help if we ever find the right car.
Will you wait here for me, sir?
No, Sergeant. I've got a much trickier task to handle.
What's that, sir?
I'm going to have to speak to Mrs. Rethman, Peter Rethman's widow. You're a very brave person, Mrs. Rethman.
I didn't feel very brave, Captain. I feel as if the world's just come to an end.
This is the first time you've ever had any sort of trouble at the store?
We've only had the place 6 months.
And no thefts or robberies?
Nothing. We're doing very well.
Mrs. Rethman, did your husband have many enemies?
Beg your pardon?
Enemies. People who might have wished to harm him.
No, of course not.
You might think that's a strange question. I have to ask you, Mrs. Rethman, because I don't think robbery was the only motive for the attack.
I don't understand.
But I've had a fair amount of experience of this sort of crime. Unless these men were pathological killers, they don't fit the pattern at all. Petrus, the Zulu man who helped your husband, is he trustworthy?
Completely. He and Peter grew up together.
I thought so. He tells us that the men walked straight into the shop, shot your husband before he could move to defend himself. This suggests to me that your husband was the primary target, not the storm.
That's impossible, isn't it?
Please, Mrs. Rethman, think very carefully. Anyone your husband might have mentioned?
Please, please believe me, Captain, there's no one. I can't.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Rethman. Look, I'll come and see you again. Come back in a day or so.
What's he doing?
He's just sitting there.
Sleeping?
Yeah, he's smoking a cigarette.
Can he hear us?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. What's the matter?
Matter? Are you crazy, Charlie?
No, you listen here.
Look, we're in trouble, Charlie. He shot that bloke. He killed him. The one at the store.
Yeah, well, he had it coming to him. You heard what Eddie said.
Oh, listen, Charlie, you know what they'll do to us if they catch us.
So who's going to catch us?
The police, that's who. They don't like people who murder, Charlie.
Eddie shot him, not us. We got nothing to worry about.
Look, we're just as guilty. We were there. They'll hang us as well.
Hang? Yeah, nobody's going to hang me.
That's right, Charlie. You tell him.
Hello, Eddie.
Oh. Hello, Eddie.
What's the matter, Mel?
What? The matter?
Are you putting a few strange ideas into Charlie's head? Ideas about being hung.
Yeah, well, I was a bit worried, you
don't
see.
Don't you trust me, Mel?
Yeah,
because
of course
if you
I
don't...
Do, but...
I think we'd better get one or two things straight, Mel. I look after the people who work for me, I always have. They take care of me, and I take care of them. And that's only fair, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is, Eddie.
Thank you, Charlie. You see, Mel, I've got this thing about loyalty. I expect it. I like things my way. I work hard to make sure things go my way.
Yeah, I know all this, Eddie, but you've told me all this before.
Well, perhaps you didn't understand before. That bloke, that silly little man who owned the store, he got in my way, Mel. You saw what happened to him. You better make sure. Dead sure you don't get in my way, Mel.
The three men are sitting next to a small river. Behind them, parked beneath the small copse of trees, stands a gleaming white car. Between the car and the trees is a large, well-equipped tent. A small campfire sends a haze of smoke between the overhanging branches.
That's better, Mel. And now that we all understand each other, let's talk, shall we?
What about Eddie?
We have to make a few plans, John.
Are we getting out of here, Eddie?
Out? We just got here, mate.
Yeah, but I mean...
We came to the country to get away from Joburg. It was getting too hot, remember? You want to go back there?
Look, they're looking for us, Eddie. That bloke at a store. Perhaps another part of the country.
I like this part of the country. We're going to stay here, Mel. They are going to find us. But he's a country cop's mate, not Joburg Fars.
Yeah, that's right. They're pretty stupid out here.
Well, you ought to know.
So what are we going to do, Eddie?
You give me a chance, I'll tell you. We didn't do too badly in the last place. A fair amount of money. And enough food to last for a couple of weeks.
Yes, so?
So we find another little store. And we pay them a visit.
January the 20th, 9:30 a.m. The CID patrol car slows down at the Rethman store, swings into the driveway, and climbs carefully up to the neat white bungalow behind the trading store building.
Do you want me to wait in the car, sir?
No, Sergeant. You'd better come in with me.
Do you think she's at home, sir?
I hope so. I'm pretty sure she can tell us something. One thing, Sergeant. You'd better let me do all the talking.
You won't even know that I'm here, sir.
Good morning, Mrs. Rethman.
Good morning, Kent.
I'm sorry to worry you again. I'd like to have another word with you, if I may.
Come in.
Yeah. By the way, this is Detective Sergeant Edwards.
How do you do?
Morning, ma'am. How do you do?
Please sit down.
Thank you. Mrs. Rethman, I wonder...
Before you go any further, Captain, I'd like you to know that I've thought a great deal about our last conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Well, at the time, it seemed inconceivable that anyone would actually want to kill Peter. We had a great many friends, And that's exactly what they are, friends, very good friends. But when you asked me about enemies, the idea was so silly that I couldn't take it seriously.
Go on, Mrs. Rithman.
Well, about 2 weeks ago, one of the labourers who lives down by the river, we have a small cane field down there, he came up to the store to tell Peter that some strange men were camping on our land.
Camping?
Peter went down there. Petrus was in town, so he went on his own. He didn't say much about it at the time.
Did he tell them to go?
He told me the next day. Yes, he threw them off the land. He said they seemed to be city types, not very nice ones at that. Three men. And then he laughed.
Laughed?
He thought it was rather funny, you see. Peter thought it was very funny because one of the men threatened to kill him.
There's a place up there. Can you see it? Up near those trees.
Up there? How do we get up there?
There's a road leading off the highway. You can see a bit of it.
Oh, I don't fancy mountain climbing.
Yeah, by all accounts, it's got to be worth it.
What do you mean?
I've been doing my homework, that's what it means. That little shop on the hill is one of the richest trading stores in this part of Zululand.
Eddie?
Yeah?
You taking your gun?
What do you think?
You're not going to use it again.
Well, that all depends, doesn't it?
Depends? On what?
On whether the people up there are going to be nice to us. That's what...
...10:45 a.m. The white car winds up the dust road to the prosperous little store. It skids to a halt in a cloud of red dust. Two men fling open the doors and stride into the store. The third remains sitting in the car, listening to the engine quietly idling, occasionally reassuring himself by gently urging the engine with his toe. Suddenly, the two men burst from the store, fling themselves into the waiting car, slamming its doors. The car leaps forward down the twisting road.
That was easy, wasn't it?
Dead easy, Eddie.
What did you get, Eddie?
Plenty. I'll show you when we stop the car. Now keep that thing going, man.
You think they'll chase us?
Well, they aren't going to chase anyone.
Eddie, you didn't shoot them.
No, we didn't shoot anyone, did we, Charlie?
Not a chance. Hey, they were plenty scared though, eh?
Yeah, that's right. They were like jelly. God, but they're still inside shivering. Now, you blokes have got to listen to me, man. We're staying right where we are. In Zululand, we got it made.
Yeah, this must be the place.
Yes, sir. As she said, just past the big fig tree, between that and the river.
Which is exactly here. Not a bad place for a camp. I can see why they came here.
Yeah, well, they haven't left much to show that they were here, sir.
Oh, I should think the Rethman farmhands probably cleaned up after them.
You'd think we'd at least find a few tire tracks, sir.
Yes, the earth's pretty soft, but it's probably rained since then.
Piece of corrugated iron here, sir. Sir?
What is it, Sergeant?
Under the iron. Looks like a tire track.
Let's have a look at that. Yes, that's a car tire, all right.
Yes, one of the labourers must have dropped the corrugated iron over this bit before the rain washed out the rest of the track, sir.
It could be one of Rethman's farm vehicles. We'll have to check. Sergeant, get me a plaster cast of that track. We'll compare it with the farm tracks and the one we have of the murderer's car.
I made those casts myself, sir, and I'm pretty sure it's the same pattern.
Of course, that may not mean anything at all. But I'm pretty sure these are the same men, Sergeant. The ones who killed Peter Rethman.
Within minutes, Sergeant Edwards has made a plaster cast of the few centimeters of tire track remaining, and the two men drive back to CID headquarters in a Ashawi. At police headquarters, there is a message waiting for Captain Wilson.
Hello, sir. Progress at last.
Really, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. I've got the other cast here. These tires are identical, sir.
Oh, that gives the Rethman killers a tenuous sort of motive, I suppose.
Is there something else worrying you, sir?
Yes, Sergeant. Yes, indeed. I think our friends have struck again.
Again, sir?
Just got another report from the Melmoth people. A trading store in the area has just been held up.
Anyone shot?
Not this time, Sergeant. But there were three men involved, three white men.
And their car?
It was a white sedan.
Petra said the car at the Rathman store was white.
Yes, but this time we've a slightly better description. The owner of this store identified it as a white Crestwing, about 2 years old.
He didn't get the number by any chance, did he?
Not all of it, but he got the interesting part.
What's that, sir?
The initials and the first two digits.
So we have an idea where it comes from.
We have indeed. It's a Joburg car.
Heads on, Mel. This will do fine.
Hey, what about the farmer?
Trust me, man. I'll switch this thing off. It's time there isn't a farmer.
How do you mean?
This is government forestry land. The nearest range is 50 miles away. We can camp here to our heart's content. They'll never find us.
Okay. So what did you get up at the store?
Shadow man, Charlie.
There. Have a look at that.
It's just money.
Just money. Count it, man.
Here's a couple of hundred.
At least. It's not bad for a little place like that.
Yeah. And what are we going to eat?
Well, there's still a couple of tins left from the last show.
Look, we'll have to get some more food if we're going to stay here. And I don't think we should move out for a couple of days. They must be after us by now. They may be... He even got the number of the car.
Listen to the bloke, Charlie. Doesn't he make you sick?
What do you mean, Eddie?
We've got money now. We can buy food if we have to.
And a couple of beers, Eddie?
Anything you want.
Yeah, yeah. And who's going to go out and buy it? Not me, mate. Not me. Not with this car.
We'll worry about that when we have to. Now, come on, Charlie. Help me get the tent up.
The government forestry reserve that hides the white Crestwing skirts the Melmoth-Ishawi Road. As they drive past the tall pine trees on their way to Melmoth, Captain Wilson and Sergeant Edwards little realize that their quarry is within hailing distance.
Pretty bold lot, these thugs, sir.
Why do you say that, Sergeant?
Well, first of all, they shoot Rathman, shoot and kill him. There could have been no doubt that he was dead. Then instead of putting as much distance between themselves and this area as possible... A thing you'd expect them to do. They calmly drive up and rob another store not 5 miles away.
Yes, it's a curious pattern, all right. Joburg car. I wonder if you'll find that there's a call out for these people already on the Witwatersrand division.
I wouldn't be surprised, sir.
Well, perhaps we'll be a little wiser this afternoon.
What's the plan, sir?
Well, first of all, I want to be absolutely certain both these crimes were committed by the same people. I'm going to see if the Melmoth police have put together that pile of car pictures that we wanted.
The ones to show Petrus.
That's right. We make sure that there are a couple of pictures of white Crestwings in the pile.
And if he identifies it?
Then we'll know, won't we?
That much we've already guessed. It doesn't take us any closer to finding the car, though, does it, sir?
At least we'll know they're still in the area. If they stick to the pattern, they might stay here for quite some time.
Interesting. Hey, sir.
To say the least. First of all, Petrus positively identifies the car as a Crestwing. Now this.
Edward Connolly, Melvin Harper and Charlie Franklin, wanted for robbery with violence and multiple car theft. Last seen driving a white Crestwing sedan. Do you want another look at it, sir?
Yeah, thanks. According to this, they were last seen in Johannesburg nearly 10 days ago. Well, that would give them plenty of time to get down here and establish themselves.
Well, establish themselves in what way, sir? They certainly aren't at any of the local hotels.
What were they trying to do when Rathman found them?
Setting up a camp.
That's right. According to Mrs. Rathman, they seemed well equipped. Big tent, everything.
So you think they've set up another camp somewhere, sir?
I'm certain of it. Sergeant, I want you to get onto all the uniformed force in the district. Ask them to look out for suspicious campsites, especially with a large white car somewhere in the vicinity.
What about the local farmer, sir?
Good idea. Get onto the Farmers Association secretary. He can phone round for us, alert all the farms. I want those men, Sergeant, and I want them soon.
Lovely, eh, Mel?
Yeah, it's very pretty.
Pretty. It's great out here, man. You wouldn't want to go back to Joburg now, would you?
Oh, I don't know. I feel safer there. I know the place.
And half the cops in the place know you.
Yeah, what about the cops here? You still think they're fools, don't you, Eddie?
Well, I mean to say, this place is the sticks, man.
Hey, Eddie, when are we going to get some more food? There's nothing left and I'm hungry, man.
Tomorrow. We go into town tomorrow.
Well, sir, I've covered the whole area.
And no news, eh?
Nothing yet, sir. If they see any strange campers, they'll let us know.
But none of the farmers are aware of anyone?
No, sir.
I'm sure they're still here somewhere. Captain Wilson.
Captain, this is Constable Mormon, Shawi District.
Yes, Constable.
I think we found your campers, sir.
What?
Found them, sir?
Sorry, Constable, what was that?
Out in the forest reserve, right where he touches the main road.
Yes, I know the place.
A couple of Bantu game guards came upon a camp last night. Big tent and a large white car.
That must be them. Thank you, Constable.
You want us to pick them up, sir?
No. No thanks, Constable. This is a job I want to handle personally.
Come on, Mel. I'm not waiting all day.
I'll stay here and wait for you.
You'll come in with us, Mel.
I thought you said you trusted us.
That's right. I trust you. Where I can see you. To the car. Move.
Oh.
That's better. I like to keep my family together. All right, let's go, shall we?
Reserve coming up on the right, sir.
I see it. Sergeant.
Car coming out, sir. It's a white crestwing.
Oh, blast. He's coming this way towards the chalet. Stop the car, Sergeant.
Here they come.
3 men in it. It must be them. Sergeant, get this car round and after them.
Right, sir.
What's the matter, Charlie?
Behind us, there's a car following us.
What?
He's right, Eddie. I saw that car way back there. It was stopped on the side of the road when we left the camp.
Can you see who it is?
Yeah, it's the police, Eddie.
They've seen us, sir. Putting on the pressure.
They'll have to slow down soon. We're nearly at the escarpment.
Yes, sir, but so will we.
I think we know that road a little better than they do, Sergeant. Keep after them.
Sir, they're shooting!
I don't think they'll be able to keep that up for long.
The road between Melmoth and Oshawe winds for a quarter of its length down one of the steepest escarpments in Zululand. To the right of the road is a sheer granite cliff. To the left is a dizzy precipice.
They'll never take the corner at that speed.
Neither will you, Sergeant. Slow down.
They got round, sir.
The next bend is the worst on the whole road. If they don't slow down, they'll never make it.
Eddie, slow down, Eddie. We're not going to make it. Slow down. They're not going to get me.
Eddie, the corner, look out.
Eddie! I can't hold it!
Oshawe police recovered the bodies of Melvin Harper and Charlie Franklin. But Edward Connolly survived the crash. He recovered to stand trial and hear the judge sentence him to death for the murder of Peter Rethman.
They prowl the empty streets at night,
waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another dramatic story in our authentic South African police series, Squad Cars. Squad Cars is directed by Colin Fish and produced by David Goodman. We'll be right back.